sorry, Matthew 14, 34 through 36. And the previous passage was where Jesus is walking on the water. And the disciples are rowing against the wind. They can't even get across Galilee. It's the Sea of Galilee. I haven't been. Who's been to Israel? I haven't been to Israel. But the Sea of Galilee, as I understand it, is a giant lake. And so typically they could row across the lake, but they were stuck again. You know, the wind was against them, and Jesus came walking on the water, looked like a ghost. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, look, call, you know, ask me to come out there with you." I'm thinking, what kind of question is that? What if it's not him and he says it's him? But he said, come out, and Peter comes out. He's walking on the water. You know the story. He sees the wind and the waves, and he gets his eyes off of Jesus, begins to sink. Jesus grabs him and saves him and says to him, "Oh, you have little faith." And then I think, well, if he's little faith, what about the other 11 guys? You know, but then the book of John, this gospel doesn't say so, but the book of John says, as soon as Jesus entered the boat, they were immediately at the shore. And we talked about that last week, that when we are sometimes just walking in God's will, he just makes the hardest things so easy by the power of his Spirit. So that's where we left off. And then here are our four simple verses. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Just to touch the hem of the garment. That was the region. This was near Capernaum, where Jesus kind of set up his post in Galilee. And that was the area where it was earlier in this gospel, where the woman with the issue of blood came to him, you know, and thought to herself, if I could just touch the edge of his garment, his tassels, the place of authority, really, of his garment, then I could be cured of this disease. And she did it against all common sense, because that would have made him unclean, possibly. And she was unclean because of her bleeding. She shouldn't have been in a crowd like that. But just by faith, she did that. And it worked. And she was freaked out. And Jesus comforted her and told her, your faith has made you well. Not just physically well, but saved, right? And that's what we're looking at today. I titled today's message, The Prayer of Faith. I wanted to title it Faithful Faith, you know, faith with action. But the prayer of faith comes from the book of James chapter 5, where it says, if any among you is sick, then to, you know, go and call on the elders and have them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And so this is very parallel when we look at our passage here. The point number one here, verse 35 of our text, and when the men of that place recognized him. And so that's the first point. They recognized who Jesus was. What's interesting, that word, the Greek word for recognize, isn't just, oh, that's Jesus. It can also mean that they became fully acquainted, or they knew who he was. In other words, the Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that final day. We know if you believe in Jesus, how many of you have tasted and seen that Jesus is good at any level? You know, that's what a relationship with God is. It's not just some theologically, it's not just memorizing Bible verses or being religious or giving to the church. It's a relationship, and he makes it possible through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. And so these men, however they knew him or knew of him, no doubt that woman of faith, you know, she got healed and saved in the midst of this throng of people. And so the word spread. And so by this point, these men see Jesus. They recognize this is Jesus. And so what do? And this is point number two. They interceded for those who needed Jesus. They interceded for him. We look at our passage here, still verse 35. They recognized him, and they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick. And that's intercession. You know, we think of, you know, intercessory prayer. We're praying for someone else. I looked up the word intercede or interceded. And sure enough, it means to intervene on behalf of another. So when you're in your prayer closet or in your car or whatever, and you're thinking of someone and you say a little prayer for them. You're bringing them to the throne of grace. You know, they're bringing, you're bringing them right to Jesus. You're standing in the gap for that person. And I would say, don't stop praying. Let me ask, you don't have to show your hands, but you can. How many of you have been praying for someone to be saved for more than a month? Keep your hand up if it's been more than a year, more than 10 years, 20, 30, right? I mean, we have those people. So I cling to one verse. It's Hebrews 11:13. You know, Hebrews 11 is the they call that the hall of faith or the hall of fame of faith, right? All these great exploits that people do by faith, you know, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses. But as you read on, it talks about those that were, you know, sawn in two and in prison and walked around in animal skins. And that was by faith as well. It wasn't this thing just for, you know, for the glamour or whatever you want to call it. But after it gives part of Abraham's testimony right there in Hebrews 11:13, the writer says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, were assured of them. Goes on to say, and embraced them. And they realize that they're, you know, pilgrims in this life. But I love that because I've been praying even for people in my own family. I'm old enough now, I could say for, well, I've 30 plus years, going on 40 years. And don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep praying because that, just like that says in the Hebrews passage, they didn't even receive all of the promises in their own lifetime, but seeing them afar off, they were assured of them and they embraced them. And I love that. And that's what faith is, right? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see, because our faith is in Jesus and he doesn't fail us. He hasn't failed us thus far. He won't fail us moving forward. So they interceded for those who needed him. And then the third point here is they earnestly asked Jesus for help. And it says there in verse 36, and they begged. These are these men of that region that brought all the sick people. They begged him. They begged Jesus that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So they were earnest in their prayer. They earnestly asked Jesus for help. Going back to that James 5 passage, it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that passage goes on to say, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You know what's interesting about that passage in James? When it says he prayed again, that is what you see in 1 Kings chapter 18. You don't see where he earnestly prayed for it not to rain. It just says in 1 Kings 17 that by the word of the Lord, it won't rain for 3.5 years. Elijah proclaims that. But anyway, the earnest prayer that you see when he prayed for the rain to come back after 3.5 years, this is his earnest prayer. He got down on the ground and he put his head between his knees, it says there in 1 Kings chapter 18. He put himself in the birthing position. Ladies, I know I have no idea, but Elijah, that's what he did. He put himself in the birthing position and he prayed and he asked his servant, any clouds? Nope. So he did it again. Any clouds? Nope. Did it a third time. Any clouds? Nope. That's earnest prayer. You get the idea. So after 7 times of doing that, then his servant said, I see a little cloud in the sky, the size of a man's hand. And then Elijah told Ahab, you better head for the hills because we're going to have a storm, you know. And so that's an example of earnest prayer. So does everybody get healed? You know, is that God's will for everyone down here to get healed? Apparently not, because we know a lot of godly people that have plenty of faith that aren't healed. So it's more important to be saved right now than to be healed. Because if you're saved, you will be healed. But if you're healed and not saved, then you're going to lose both, right? And so that's the important thing. So they earnestly asked Jesus for help. And finally, they really believed, the fourth point I have, they really believed that he would help. You know, just like the woman with the issue of blood, they said, we just got to get you to Jesus. You just got to touch the hem of his garment. And that it's not the hem of his garment that did it, right? Paul, in the book of Acts, it said that the Lord did unusual miracles through the hands of Paul. Paul didn't start some kind of healing ministry to where he could make a bunch of money, you know, all these charlatans. Why aren't they in the hospitals, right? Paul was working his secular job, if you will. He was a tent maker. He didn't get paid for the ministry. He, you know, people would give him gifts, but he was a tent maker. He worked hard, and so he would wear a smock, if you will, and he had headbands. But other people had faith to believe if they could just, you know, these sweatbands, if they could just touch those, that they'd be healed or delivered from demons. You know, God's not in a box. I don't know how it works, but God honored that faith. That seems kind of woo-woo to me, you know. Same thing with Peter in the book of Acts. Talks about how people would get sick, their sick relatives or people on their couches in a position. So you've read this, right? In Acts chapter 5, even if Peter's shadow would just pass by, that they would be delivered. That passage doesn't say whether it happened or not, but I imagine it happened because God just honors faith. He honors your faith and he honors my faith. He does preposterous things, things that are foolish to the world. All of us that are saved in this room are putting all of our hope in a rabbi that lived 2,000 years ago that was apparently a criminal and died on a cross, right? And we're putting our whole eternity on him. But that's because we've tasted and seen, right? That he is real. And God is real. So those are the four points of that. And then one little side point, and I commit to you, this is really it. We're winding down. Put your seatbelt on and all that stuff. Just this is that last word in the passage, and as many as touched it, the hem of his garment, were made perfectly well. And that word perfectly well can mean healed. It can be can mean saved. It can mean to be rescued. It's used about 8 times in the New Testament. It means those different things. And again, that's the point. If you want to be healed for eternity, get saved, you know. And yes, God does do miracles. That's what that James 5 passage tells us, to have the faith to ask, you know, ask and keep asking. But I think of Johnny Erickson. Anyone ever heard of Johnny Erickson? So she's a quadriplegic, a believer, and she, very young age, dove into some water and broke her neck, and she's like 75, 76 now. And she prayed to be healed, and she was never healed. And so the Lord's used her to start a ministry for people that are disabled. You know what's interesting? You know, people, part a faction of the church would say, well, you just don't have enough faith, Johnny. Well, she has lived way longer than any quadriplegic is expected to live. She's 76 years old, and God has used her to minister. So I don't know why these things happen, but I know that we serve a good and a loving God. And all of that, when we look at Jesus in the Gospels, all this would be fulfilled on the cross. When he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he provided this for all of us. And so it all comes down to faith. And when it says here that they were all made perfectly well, I believe they were all saved as well as healed. And for all of us that are saved, you may not be perfectly well. I know some of us among us are ailing, you know, pretty significantly. But let me just close with this last passage from Colossians 2, 9 and 10, the first half of verse 10. Speaking of Jesus, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Every one of us who believes in him, you are complete. Whether you're struggling mentally or emotionally or physically, you are complete in him. And then just as our transition, again, thinking of these men in this passage that had the faith to go gather up all the sick and to stand in the gap for them and bring them to Jesus, we want to bring our speaker up. Judd, come on up. So Judd Saul, he's a man that is standing in the gap. He's been called to stand in the gap for the persecuted church in Nigeria.